So because, based on statistics, there are abortions occurring in our Orthodox Christian communities, we need to be prepared to help create restoration and follow through. How can we practically help if we're given that privilege? We can counter her doubts. Tell her she is strong, because she is. Women are strong. She can be a mother and get an education. She is loved. Listen to her and teach her what our church teaches about sanctity of life. Teach her stories of the great saints, such as Saint Mary of Egypt, like Father Edward said, and other saints that will inspire her and rebuild her dignity. She is loved. We pray for her. Ask your priest to announce prayer requests for a woman contemplating abortion or one keeping her pregnancy, that she and her baby will be safe and healthy. Make calls for her, do some research for her on what resources are available. Assist her with getting help with her material needs. Have a diaper drive, baby shower, give her rides to a doctor's appointment, babysit after the baby is born, bringing the prepared food, groceries. Again, ask, what do you need? What can I do to help you? What do you need to carry this baby? And diapers are a big impediment. Some women have said that, you know, they just can't afford diapers, but, you know, and that right there can result in a decision. I mean, it's going to be other things. It's not that simple, but definitely there's diapers are expensive. You guys, that with older kids, or yeah.
We're pretty much out of that.
Yeah.
They're expensive. They are very expensive.
So, maternity homes, Orthodox maternity homes, are there any?
Not actual residential maternity homes. We do have Zoe for Life, which is a crisis pregnancy center in, Illinois, and they're trying to open one in Michigan. But no, like we were talking about yesterday, there isn't a replacement, abortion-replaced maternity homes. And now the kind of other replacement would be adoption, where parents who want to adopt sometimes will help a woman to pay for her expenses to get her through the pregnancy. Help us fill our crib with baby needs for a mom and dad in need this Mother's Day. Teach her the importance of praying for her child during pregnancy, coming to church during pregnancy so her baby can receive Holy Communion and hear the hymns. And we know that in about 16 weeks or even less, babies can hear things outside the womb. How incredible to be bringing this child into the church through the whole pregnancy. This is a famous African, for African countries, that's our continent abortion opposer, and she has this really great quote, "Crisis pregnancy is a very real problem, but what the community around a woman in crisis pregnancy must tackle and remove is the crisis rather than the pregnancy. The community should focus on finding a way to solve the financial difficulty, family instability, or other difficulties that may be causing the crisis. But what must not be done is to kill an innocent unborn baby, which is already a unique, irreplaceable human." So one thing I didn't get to this morning was, you know, this concept of rescue systems. In our country, we have institutionalized, established, and funded rescue systems to save lives. We have firefighters, you know, first responders, police, ambulance, FEMA. We have in place great systems to save lives. But for the unborn, the only institutionalized and funded system we have is a system that kills the unborn life. We don't have, right? So, you know, can we make rescue systems in our churches? Can we get together and make a committee, make a ministry? You know, talk to your priests, work with your priests, always work in cooperation with your priests, and consider that. Or maybe a regional, maybe a group of, you know, pan-Orthodox rescue group that we're here, come to us, we will help you. So that would be a beautiful thing in our churches. Who knows, God willing. Okay. Next category, Christ blesses the woman who has an abortion but repents. She's in the light. So this came up. Is she always going to be in the darkness? Yet part of her is kind of on the edge because of the wound. She is forgiven. She's still facing Christ and receiving his blessing, but she grieves. 60% of women say, part of me died after the abortion. I've read a lot of Silent No More testimonies, the women who publicly proclaim their abortion regret with the hope of dissuading other women from taking the same course. Many women say they think about their aborted child every day, and landmark dates are particularly difficult, such as the abortion anniversary. Seeing someone who is the age their child would have been is also very painful. It's really a potential of a lifetime of emotional pain that waxes and wanes but never completely goes away. There are also really chilling stories of women who hear babies crying or turn to drugs and alcohol to self-medicate their pain. There are many, many heartbreaking stories. There are organizations that have ministries and programs to help post-abortive women, like Rachel's Vineyard. That's a Catholic one. There are Protestant ones too. God willing, there will be an Orthodox program. I know Orthodox Christians for Life on a national level. That's in their mission statement to create that. So our response to post-abortive women. Abortions are often closely held secrets for a lifetime. We have to take care in how we talk about abortion at all times. We do not know if someone has an abortion history, but given the numbers, it is likely that we regularly encounter them, even in our churches. If we do learn that someone in our church had an abortion but has not had the spiritual gift of confession, we must encourage and help them to go to a priest for this sacrament. And this must be done in a loving and gentle, not judgmental way. You can see all these forces that brought her to that decision. It can be nothing but sympathetic and loving to someone who suffered that. So this is something you're doing out of love to help this person heal their spiritual wound and remove this rift between her and Christ. Because that's another thing that you definitely see in the Guttmacher research, is that women, when they have an abortion, they have this, sin separates us from God. And as they have that, they start pulling back from participation in church. They feel unworthy. They feel dirty. They feel, you know, sinful. They feel too much. They create their own Saint Mary of Egypt barrier to coming into church. That's what abortion can do. So we should always be compassionate. So the next part of the icon is the other half, the way of death. In the darkness. In this section of the icon, we see the unholy, unblessed way of death, violence, demonic force, a pagan aspect, abortion as sacrifice to a god of convenience and false comfort. An abortion monetary profit. This is the dollars in the doctor's pocket. Continuing with the explanation that I found for this icon, in contrast to the repentant mother who yearns for mercy, arms raised to Christ, they're in agony and wanting and yearning for God's mercy. There are a series of four women who purposely and intentionally present their infants for slaughter for various worldly reasons. These are the reasons listed: uncontrolled sensuality, hard-heartedness, superficiality, and indifference. The children are offered to the evil queen, abortion. At her feet lie the dismembered bodies of countless innocents. Behind her is her servant, the abortionist, murdering another child. Notice the money in his pocket. Behind him is the beast, the evil one, who gleefully watches as mothers offer their children for slaughter in the process of losing their own souls to the beast. Above, the angels weep at the indescribable calamity below. The abortion queen is given the new name, New Herod, after King Herod, who is responsible for the slaughter of the innocents at the time of the birth of Christ. In the icon above, in heaven, there's also the Mother of God, the perfect mother who is nursing the infant Christ. And we're, you know, mothers are never going to be perfect. I kind of was saying, like, don't complain about being a mother around anybody. I mean, sometimes we have to express our frustrations and, you know, our difficulties and our trials, and that's therapeutic as women to do that. I wanted to point that out because earlier I might have sounded a little Pollyanna about that. Of course, parents need to talk to each other. Just don't do it around your teenagers. Don't do it around newly married people. Don't do it around kids. To her left is Saint Stylianos, the protector and patron saint of children. So how do we respond? Again, practicing our faith, prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. All of these can be applied to sanctity of life issues. We pray for conversion of hearts and minds, that God will reveal the humanity of the unborn to the wider culture. We can participate in the 40 Days for Life prayer campaigns, in prayer vigils outside Planned Parenthood clinics, which is really effective. They've saved probably 1,500, 1,700 babies. Praying for the unborn supporters. And remember, we are all sinners, as St. Isaac the Syrian teaches. Do not foster hatred for the sinner, for we are all guilty. Hate his sins and pray for him, so that you may be made like unto Christ, who had no dislike for sinners, but prayed for them. Fasting. Father Demetrios Karelis dedicated this last Lenten fast to the Mother of God for her prayers to end, for an end to abortion. So talk to your spiritual father or mother for guidance on this if you're interested. Volunteer at your local crisis pregnancy center. Bridges, looks like there's Bridges in Santa Rosa. This looks like a really good one. Yeah, check that out. Almsgiving, so we can support those pregnancy resource centers and volunteer at them. Have a baby bottle fundraiser. So you get, what they do is they get a bunch of baby bottles. You have a campaign at your church, fill them up with coins, come back at a certain time. You can make this fun. You can have contests between different groups, or maybe in their Sunday school, which class raises the most money. Try and use the ministries that you're already involved in your church, you know, of course, with your priest's blessing. So, you know, if you're a Sunday school teacher, try and have a fundraiser within the Sunday school. If you're in the Ladies Society, you can have a baby shower for a mother that you don't know. Is God calling you to adopt, foster, to open your house to a homeless pregnant woman? These are radical things. That's Christianity. I love this quote. I always questioned if I was ready to adopt, and then I realized that no child is ready to be an orphan.